Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
All right. Welcome back to the As for Football Army Football Show. Army got a big win at home. And at least for now, it looks like the new offense maybe, possibly, might be on track, might be promising. I don't know. 57-0. I was pretty impressed with that. But when I tweeted that, I got told I was an idiot and the game didn't count. So,
oh, my God.
Besides that, though, you know, doing well, 57-0, picture shutout at home. Great way to start the week. I'm your host, Jordan, coming to you live from Huntsville, Alabama, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Gentlemen, 57-0, how are we doing?
Yo, man, you can only beat the teams you play. I mean, how much more were they supposed to do to those guys?
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. What a great way to start the 100th season.
Absolutely.
College football at Mikey Stadium. Like, if you're going to complain about that, you're probably the person that complains about getting every gift that you want at Christmas time because it wasn't the right color.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, 57-0. Look at Navy and Air Force both played FCS teams and they both struggled. So
Sam Houston State, this is their first year as an FBS program, but yeah.
Well, same
site difference. Game, but yeah, same no. Difference. And that game was close into the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, short of us scoring 64 points, like what more do we expect out of this team, right? I mean, we got
the largest shutout win since 1956.
Exactly.
Like, you know, 1956.
I mean, come on. Exactly. And, you know, we had the third string quarterback getting there. We got to see everybody on the roster got to play, you know, more than one series. So I think that's pretty damn good.
Yeah,
and you know what else is pretty damn good? Our sponsor, Buyer Barn. Rob.
Yeah, so that was perfect segue. And speaking about BuyerBarn.com. So let's just roll right into it. We have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. It's BuyerBarn.com. Buyer Barn was co-founded by the graduate of the class of '97, Dan Robinson. Dan ran a traditional farm co-op and realized that there's a better way to modernize it and bring it into the 21st century. He and his co-founder Dino took their experience in IT management and development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction and sales platform. Buyer Barn provides reduced health issues through cut down animal and owner contact, reduced animal fraud through a buyer and seller rating system, and has a fully integrated auction platform with secure payments. So you don't have to run around with all that cash. And for those of you guys that bet on Army, you will not have to run around with a whole bunch of cash in your pocket after beating out of Delaware State. You also get the convenience to buy and sell on your own time. And the other part of it is you get better market pricing for a wider audience. So think eBay versus a yard sale. Buyer Barn is dedicated to helping the small farmers in America and are providing a special discount to military veterans who want to assist them in the small family farm revolution. Go to buyerbarn.com or email them at info@buyerbarn.com. And as always, there's a click tab on the Ask for Football website that will take you straight to the Buyer Barn page and provide you all the information that you need to know. Back to you, Jordan.
Thank you, sir. So like Dan said, we just had the biggest shutout win since 1956. You know, on the last week's show, we talked about like the world's changing, going old school, whatever. Like, Dan, as the only person alive in 1956, do you want to like let us know what it was like?
Dude, my parents were toddlers.
I'm sorry, that was me. That was me. Dan was not born in 1956. That was anyway. So, okay.
Jordan popped himself.
Yeah, that was good. All right, hey, that's what you get when you don't let me in the damn podcast because you don't want to send me the link. So. Look, 57-0, Bryson Daly looked terrific. You know, out of week one, a lot of people were saying, you know, this guy was not the quarterback of the future. What are we looking at? Like, he's built for the option. He's not built for this new offense. He went 8 for 11 passing, 193 yards and 3 touchdowns. definitely kind of, you know, balancing out his stats after the season opener. He was also the team's leading rusher, 9 carries, 65 yards, and 2 more TDs. This guy had 5 touchdowns. That's incredible. Isaiah Alston, 3 catches for 135 yards and a touchdown. Tyson Riley, 2 catches, 38 yards and a touchdown. When was the last time we saw Tyson Riley with a catch and a touchdown?
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw an Army fullback with a catch and a touchdown?
Well, exactly. I mean, and if you're, you know, Isaiah Alston, 135 yards, 2 touchdowns, I think I saw that was a career high for him. Like, you got to be loving this new offense if you're a wide receiver, Army. You're no longer just blocking people for 90% of the downs. You're actually getting in there and catching footballs. Second half of the game, I think it was more like the third quarter on, we saw Cleveland quarterback Larry Robinson, and the offense didn't miss a beat. He went 1-for-1 passing, 25 yards, 4 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Markell Johnson at running back, 6 carries for 32 yards. Hayden Reed, 3 carries for 17 yards. The offense continued to look good despite running a very stripped down playbook in the second half because we did have those plebes. Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but Larry Robinson's he's a true freshman. He didn't go to the prep school, right?
I don't know the answer to that question. I would have to look that up. Yeah, somebody in the chat just pointed out Tyson Riley was playing tight end. They had him at an H-back, H-back in there. Yeah, same difference, but yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, he's a good H-back, like big guy, can block, catch the football, got speed. I'm here for it.
Yeah. And then defensively, 10 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, forced 3 fumbles, recovered 2 of them, held Delaware State to just 219 yards of total offense. They went 0-for-2 on 4th down and only 6-for-16 on 3rd down. Leo Lowen, 9 tackles. Spencer Jones, 6 tackles. Trey Sophia, 3 tackles and a sack. He's played really well as the starting nose tackle. And then special teams. Cole Talley, I don't know what he did in the offseason, but he has a monster leg. Almost every single kick went out of the back of the end zone. Barely missed a 65-yard field goal by a couple yards. We also blocked the field goal on special teams. And then Cooper Allen had 1 punt for 34 yards. So overall, I think that's a fantastic, you know, 3 phases of football performance. Rob, what were your takes?
Okay, so I'm probably going to say something. This should have been the first game of the season. Because if the guys would have gotten the confidence out of this game against Delaware State, they would have beat ULM. So if we would have reversed these games, I think genuinely the performance would have been better. You know, I'm not responsible for writing the schedule or anything like that, but I think you need a good, solid confidence game like that, and particularly installing a new offense. And I know the schedules are pretty much set, but if they would have come out against Delaware State as the opener at home, I think it would have been a stronger start to the season, because if you start out 57-0 and the offense is clicking, I think there are things that are a little bit more manageable. So right now, you know, and I'll single the kid out because, you know, we saw everything that happened with Ajon Marshall. That guy's a head case now. You know, if again, these schedules were reversed and he had 1 fumble in an opening game and a big blowout, not as significant as the previous game. And so there's going to be some, you know, he's going to have to hit the performance enhancement center and have some, you know, coaches. Yeah. And people gather around that guy because, like, he's a tremendous athlete. But unfortunately, the sequence of events are not working out in his favor. And so I think team-wise, the sequence of events didn't work out in our favor. If we would have played Delaware State first, I think everybody would be a lot more confident going into the UTSA game. We're already confident right now because of the way that we played. But I think, you know, beating Delaware State early, close game, win against ULM, a lot of momentum going 2-0 into UTSA, vice being 1-1. But again, can't control the schedule, but that's kind of my thought.
I completely agree with you, Rob. And I just, I don't want to pick on the guy because he's what, sophomore, junior, whatever he is. But on the broadcast, they talked about how, according to Coach Munkin, they practice ball security every single practice, not just in the last week, single practice, all like, and so, you know, on the one hand, it's, you know, you got Coach Munkin who's going to bench the kid. And we just had a comment that said, Marshall will not be starting due to the fumble. Coach said he has to earn it back. Is that too Is Coach being an asshole by doing that? Or is he saying, hey, you know what? We practice this every single day and you've now had three fumbles. We need to reevaluate something.
Well, it's a shame because Marshall is arguably the best athlete on the team. I mean, three fumbles, but every single one of them is like down the field on a big game, a big game. Yeah. You know, it's that was like a game breaking catch against ULM. Mm-hmm. You know, you just go down, like they always say, you know when the journey is over. You know, you got six guys around you. Hey, that's a good run. Get on the ground, go get the first down. Listen,
it's a field awareness discussion, right? You'd already gotten the first down. Like if you go back to the ULM game, and we're not going to belabor this point, but the bottom line is know where the down and distance is.
Yeah.
You got the first down, go down, get the ball back into the hands of your quarterback. And so your offense can make decisions, because when you fumble, then it's a free for all. But if you're controlling the ball and you know, you're getting in the huddle and you're setting yourself back into the tempo, you're doing a better job. And that's really ultimately what it boils down to. To your point, Jordan, coach is not being an asshole. We all watched the program back in the 90s. If you've never seen the program, go back and watch it. Guys have to hold on to the ball. You know why Rob never played offense in high school? Because he fucking fumbled all the time. There's a reason why I became a defensive specialist. You know, I couldn't hold on to the ball. And so that being said, you know, that's how it goes, right? And so as an offensive player, you got to be able to hold on to the ball or switch over and play defense, right? Like, hey, you're fast enough, you're athletic enough, you can play DB, but who wants to change in the middle of a campaign? And so that's something that usually happens in the offseason, and it's a strong, well thought out coaching decision. Understanding the reason to bench the guy, I think most coaches would do that. You would bench a guy that throws multiple interceptions. A coach would do anything that he needs to do to light a fire under the player. And again, it goes back to, you know, you as a player, you've got to decide, hey, look, you know, am I going to correct this? And there's only certain ways that you can correct it. And most of it has to do with the way that you practice yourself into the game, you get the opportunity to play, then, you know, you make up for it in some other facet of the game.
Yeah. And I like that Coach Monken is harping on ball security, because we've seen how many Army games lost because we couldn't hold on to the ball.
And I mean, in the first game, one of the season.
Well, exactly. But like in so many games, it comes down to who has the ball last, and if we're going to fumble it away,
this is the end of the talking about ULM, but that ULM game reminds me quite a lot of the home loss to North Texas a few years ago. I think that was 2016, 2017. And, you know, came back and had that electric game against them in the bowl game. But
yeah,
it was just like that was just a sloppy ass game. And so was this ULM game. It is what it is. We're stacking comments here. So apparently Booby Law also lost his starting spot due to effort issues versus ULM. I don't like to hear that. That's my man. Coach Munkin's huge on ball security. And after the first game, he's not taking anything. I agree with that. And then Greg says, I agree. Coach is right on this. It's happened to me. Lights a fire on guys, and they need to understand the consequences. Yeah, you know, yeah. For sure.
And then Munkin's pulling players who didn't have two hands on the ball around defenders. And that's one thing. If you look at someone like Malcolm Perry, who, you know, we love him on this podcast, but if you look at the way he carries the ball high and tight, like he is well coached on ball security. And that's something that Coach Ken at Navy had done a really good job of his guys is ball security. And I look at our guys and they got the chicken wing with the ball hanging out. And I just think that's an area where we can improve. And so, you know, good on Coach for identifying that and, you know, holding people accountable to that, because at the end of the day, you know, when we go against Navy, if we have two fumbles and they have zero, that's
going to be the difference
in the game. Who wins the game. Exactly.
Especially this year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's bring it back. Let's talk the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'll take the good. The offense looked good. Lots of passing early. Daly put the ball on target for big gains. Daly also looked good in various option looks running out, especially outside the tackles. He looked a little, not confused, but a little out of place, I think, against ULM. And he looked more confident and kind of had a better understanding what was going on this week. Power running late in the game worked consistently. That's something, even I think in the fourth quarter when we had the backup offensive line and we were still getting 2 or 3 yards on that initial push.
At least.
And then it was great that we were able to move the ball consistently like that. Defensively, we got all over these guys, 10 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, got for the quarterback consistently, no fourth down conversions, special teams, kick return for 48 yards, 2 field goals blocked in 2 weeks, a lot of touchbacks like we talked about. And then, Dan, you're at the game, and the weather held up. It didn't rain. I saw Coach Hall or whatever took his windbreaker off after the first quarter. So it looked like it was heating up a little bit.
It was, you know, it's a shame too. If we'd had this weather week 2 weeks ago, I think we would have won the ULM game because it was hot as anything in New York for a week. But before that, the previous 3 weeks, it had been like highs in the mid 70s. So, you know, listen, sometimes you just don't catch a break.
Yeah. Rob, what was the bad this week?
The bad. So, you know, we all want to see Jacoby Buchanan become a bigger contributor in the game. We like watching the big man rumble. He's just the inside dives aren't working. They're setting up other stuff, so it's allowing us to set the edge. But like everybody's keying in on Jacoby Buchanan. When he's in the game, everybody knows that it's probably going to be a fullback dive, right? And we know that. And that's part of the scheme. I think as we get deeper into the season, maybe they'll open up the playbook, give him some more options, maybe put him in the H-back role, put him and, you know, Hayden Reed in there as H-backs at the same time, add to the confusion. There's other packages that they can use him in, but I think he's I wouldn't say he's being underutilized. I just think that, you know, everybody knows, like, when Jacoby Buchanan's in, it's a dive play. Like, that, like, you don't have to watch much film to figure that out. He finished with 7 carries for 13 yards and 1 short TD. Again, I'm not a coach, but I think they got to come up with a better way of utilizing him just because of the way that it is. And point two, we're not even going to talk about. We've already talked about Ishaan Marshall and his fumble. Again, not dunking on the kid. The bottom line is, again, I'm terrible at ball control. I didn't know how to – I didn't learn how to catch a football until I was like a full-grown adult, you know. So I was terrible in high school.
In high school, I played tight end, and I got thrown the ball exactly once in practice. And they said, you're going to block from now on. So I have no room to talk. I'm not saying I can do a better job by any means.
I was a nose guard in high school because my hands were terrible, and we will move on from that. And then
that tells some stories, Rob.
Yeah, I'll take the ugly, and there is no ugly really when you win 57-0, and the stats were as good as they were. I think again, this is the boost of confidence that the team needed. I just wish it would have come in week one.
Yeah. So, Dan, before you kind of give me your takes on the game, usually in years past, in good, the bad, and the ugly, I would usually insert something, usually in the bad or the ugly, about the commentators. So I was actually pleasantly surprised with our new officiating crew. Does anybody else share that sentiment or disagree?
I didn't listen to him, man. I was in the stadium. So, you know, and not even drunk, just like watching the game. For once.
That's true. I don't know why I asked you. You weren't even paying attention. Rob, what did you think of the commentators?
Yeah, of course. You know, the commentary teams that we've had over the last couple of years have been good. These guys are good. I think they've done a little bit more research. I think they're a little bit better prepared. And because they're going to be there routinely, I think it's a lot easier for you to get comfortable with the team that you're going to be watching the whole season. You know, where it's like when it's like those one-off games on like ESPN or whatever, like it's hit or miss on whether or not you're going to get a quality researched, you're going to get a quality researched analyst team. And the other piece of it is you're lucky that it's even on television if it's on ESPN, given all the crazy with the licensing stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it was a good call. I think they did a lot of good introspection. There was a definite focus on Army, but that was just because the game was going so well that they could just continue to talk about the player. So again, for everyone, it was a great rep. So like if you're calling Army games for the rest of the season, you had a lot of activity from Army for you to kind of work through the kinks. And then the other piece of it is I thought they really, you know, I think they really did a good job. Not as big a drop off as, you know, the guys that we had. I think it was just the ESPN Plus game last year against Coastal was awful. I think that was a worst called Army game that we had all season last year. And hopefully we don't replicate that in any shape, form, or fashion. Because even the NFL Network guys were good.
I thought they did great too. Yeah.
Those NFL Network guys are football guys. Like they, you know, triple option. That's cool. We haven't seen that, but they love it. You know, ESPN, not so much.
Yeah, well, the NFL guys, because like they usually get a guy that's an offensive lineman, and he's like, hey, this is the technique that the guys are using. You know, that's what made Ross Tucker so good, because he's an offensive lineman. And again, in the pecking order of athletes in study, usually the offensive linemen are just as well studied as the quarterbacks because they have to, because they have to be able to read the defense to understand the blocking scheme. And so it adds a little bit more, you know, nuance to their commentary. But I think that, you know, no issues with the commentary team. I think, like, I will tell you, from my seat at the house, at least the field looks great on television. Like, it looks amazing. It looks immaculate. And it's a step up by comparison to what we had last year. But I didn't really realize that last year it was, you know, that bad until you see it on television. You're like, wow, the field looks great. So
yeah.
I think just from a presentation, all in all, the game went well. And, like, again, I think it was really, really good.
I agree. Someone said they didn't hear the word analytics or day in the life. Thank God. I was so sick and tired of hearing Ross Tucker talk about the analytics every 4.5 minutes and then what he had for lunch. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. I know y'all love Ross Tucker. I could not stand the sound of his voice. He drove me freaking insane. So now we didn't get a catheter commercial this time, but we did get like 49 USAA commercials, the same one over and over and over again. So, well, you know what?
They want your car loan.
Yeah, cow loan. Yeah, either that or your medical device from Stryker. So all you guys with bad ankles, you know where to go.
We didn't get a combat earplugs, you know, lawsuit thing either. So anyway, you know what? Like, positive. We had a great home crew. They seemed very engaged, very positive. That's my take on the game. Dan, what's yours?
So I went to a high school football game on Friday, and, you know, all the dads are sitting around there talking about all the nitinoid crap that their sons had to pick up from the first game to the second game. And it was really, really, like, I was amazed by the level of detail. You know, swimming, my sport, obviously is not as it's a pure thing in the sense that once you sort of get the muscle memory down, there's not much to think about. It's just, how do I smoke this guy? The end. Right. So, but even with a relatively simple sport like that, it still helps tremendously to do, like, tune-up races, to, you know, just to practice, like, competing with dudes. And, you know, this team really needed that tune-up week. And I know Rob kind of talked about it, but it, like, I'm not even talking about the specifics of, you know, where do you put your hands and how do you, you know, set your feet when you're going down and all this. Like, I understand that there are a million details. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, you know, playing at full speed is totally different than practice, and you can't replicate it. There's just something about competing with guys at 100% that you can only do when you're actually doing it. And so my biggest takeaway was, you know, I'm not surprised these guys with a new offense looked 1,000% better after having a rep. Like, that does not surprise me at all. No. The other thing was, it looked to me like Army ran better to the left than the right for whatever reason. And then afterwards they named guard Lucas Scott as the player of the game. So I'm wondering if they put Lucas Scott in at left guard and he was just smoking the crap out of people, or if it's a function of who was sort of on the field where, and that when they ran to the left, they were giving it to better speed guys. But anyway, those are my takes. Yeah.
Dan, you and I have been friends for 4 or 5 years. So I just want to preface that, but I've never understood the you and the swimming thing. I didn't get it. I was like, how do you relate everything in life to swimming? It didn't make sense.
You only know one thing. That's how you see the world.
Well, yeah, but there's a guy I work with. He swam in Miami in the late 80s, and every work thing is like, oh, well, I was in this race, and I was against such and such. And he, like, talks about these people like I'm supposed to know who the hell they are. Like, and it just kind of made sense. So I feel like I've gotten to know you a little bit better by getting to know him, and you swimmers are interesting. Group of people.
And speaking, I'm glad of I could entertain you, Jordan.
Interesting groups of people. Rob, the paratrooper who jumps out of a perfectly good airplane for no reason other than to just hurt your knees. What did you think about the game?
Like, one, like, part of the reason why I'm rocking my 82nd stuff is because, like, that's what they wore, that patch for the game this weekend. And again, I thought it was a quality performance, and I will stick with it. You know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, and then you have to make adjustments. And I think one of the things that happened this week, the adjustments happened a lot quicker in the game, And so, like, hey, we're going to throw to the outside. Like, that out and up to Ajon Marshall, or I'm sorry, to Isaiah Alston was perfect, right? Because they're running the slant, they're running their slant, they're baiting him in, they're closing in, they're closing in. Next thing you know, he goes out and up. You know, great play. And again, that comes from watching the play that's on the field and making adjustments in real time. And that's one of the things that, you know, we had the feeling, and I'm not going to dunk on him too badly, but like when you were watching with Britt Davis as the offensive coordinator, it was like, what game is he watching? Like, we're still running a dive play to the left, and it's gotten smoked like three times in a row. And so I think what we are seeing now out of the press box is they're being a lot more agile with the calls. And like I said, and like we said at the end of the week at ULM, the bottom line was just open the playbook. It doesn't have to be huge. Just open up a couple extra plays and work those into practice and look at the fruit that came out of those extra plays. We've got, you know, multiple touchdown passes. We've got guys breaking open wide open into the open space. And, you know, like, I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to tackle Bryson Daly in the open. Like, that kid's huge, right? Like you got thoroughbred coming at you. Like, nobody wants to tackle a horse. And so that really puts the perspective in. And then, oh, by the way, now I got two guys coming at you, one guy that's big and strong and one guy that's going to juke me out of my socks. Who do I play as? You know, I got to feather the pitch. That's the defensive technique that you want to use. But, like, who do you commit to? Because you know that the quarterback can run because he's run two touchdowns on you already. So do I edge over that way? And then he pitches it, and now I'm screwed because I tried to anticipate what he's going to do rather than, you know, playing the position. And that's what happens, the eye game. It's getting people into those habits and then changing them because you're going in a different direction. I appreciated the much wide open offense. And, you know, what can you say about the defense? They pitched a shutout. Like, yeah, guys were all over the field.
10 tackles for loss, man. That's wild. Yeah.
Making contact. And that's the thing. When you're getting that level of penetration, like, one of the things is, like, we should never know the defensive lineman's name, but you're going to when you have 10 tackles for loss is because those guys are getting in the backfield and tackling, right? Linebackers did great, but you also had great performance on the defensive front. And when the defensive front is playing that well, you get a much lower – you get a much better quality game because then, you know, your play action passes aren't working. If you're getting smashed, you know, at the point of attack, it doesn't matter what play you're running, you know, you're getting taken down in the backfield. So I really appreciated both sides of the ball this week. I think, you know, steadily opening up that playbook and adding those extra plays to kind of stretch the defense is going to help throughout deeper in the season because teams can't key off of just staying in the middle.
Yeah. Rob, you talked about the agility in the offensive play calling, and I think that's key to highlight because that was an issue last season. And it was like, oh, we're going to run midline right. And then, oh, maybe we'll run midline left. Like, we just ran the same play over and over again. There was no variation. There was nothing different. It's like everybody knew what Brent Davis was going to call. And so this week, this year, it's nice to say, hey, we're going to throw. Hey, we're going to, you know, do a jet sweep. Like, it was different. And that was good, and I think that's going to serve us well kind of down the stretch, especially when we go against Navy and Air Force because, you know, those are such big games. They're watching every play, and if we have something cooked up that we've actually practiced as opposed to, like, some harebrained thing that we haven't ran at all, I think that's going to pay dividends in the stretch.
Well, one of the best things about offense, the most difficult thing as a defensive player is fighting an offense that has multiple weapons, right? So if I know that I have two wide receivers that have 100 plus yards in catching and a running back that has, you know, 100 plus yards in rushing, or by the time we get to the Air Force and Navy game, you're like later in the season, if we have six guys with 400 yards rushing, who do you key on as a defense? You can't, because there's too many weapons there. Same thing defensively on the pass side. Like, hey, we know that Isaiah Alston is like the number one guy, but whoever is coming up as the next number two receiver, that guy can get open now because they're going to be double and triple teaming him, looking to shut him down. So that means there's four other guys open, you know, and they're one defensive player short. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And, like, I want to say this and I'll say it, but I don't want to, like, I want teams to try and put man coverage cover zero against the new offense. It's not going to work. It will not work like it did when you're running the option. I can't put a defensive back on top of every receiver or running back and hope that it works out and have one safety in the middle of the field or no safety in the middle of the field, because it's not going to work. There's too many weapons, and we're already showing that when those guys get in space, they can create opportunities for the team. And again, people complain like, oh, 57-0, like it doesn't count. I get it. But it does count because if people that say that have never been in a locker room after a loss. And like, that's the difference is people that have lost a close game. Like they understand like, man, if it would have been X, Y, or Z, or if I would have went left instead of right or whatever it was, you've got all that quicksand going on in your head. Having a game like Delaware State kind of clears some of those cobwebs out. And then you can still focus on great to focus on good things, but you can also focus on the bad things as well, because I can assure you that Coach Monken, when he watched those films, hey, defense, you pitched the shutout. However, you know, left end was out of position when he was playing the offense or whatever. There's always going to be something that's coachable regardless of the situation. So you got to take advantage of the good with the bad. Much easier to get coached when you're getting good info or when you have a win than coming out of a loss, particularly a close one.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Momentum builder, stakes in the UTSA. So let's review fact or fiction, and then we'll start talking UTSA. Dan said it takes a full quarter before Army's offense looks legit. That was fiction. They looked legit right out of the gate. Rob said Army throws the ball 10 times. He and I said fact on that, and that was fact. Dan got that one wrong. James says Army to the American. It's not confirmed. TBD. Money talks. We'll see what happens. And then I said less than three turnovers. That was fact agreement, and that was a fact. Dan, why don't you tell us about our friend Craig after you take yourself off mute, good sir?
Well, I'm glad I was on mute because I was talking right over you. Army to the American looks like a thing that's going to occur, for better or worse. You can feel about it however you want to, but like you said, Jordan, money talks. Which is the thing you would know if you went to Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. Friends, he is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago, one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. Okay, so for our negative audience, let me just tell you that you cannot afford to go with anyone else. You are going to get your faces ripped off in this mortgage process. Everybody wants to make a buck off you, take your house and all of your money and your kids and your wife. The only way to prevent that is to go with Craig, because he's a West Point class, West Point graduate, honorable guy, friend of the program. Like, we're trying to introduce you to the guy you need to meet, because the mortgage process is confusing and they'll take advantage of you. You got to go to Craig. Friends, this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to keep you from not getting your face ripped off when you get a mortgage. So also, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That's a savings of like $1,300. Like, that's a lot of money. So go get that money. Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. His link is on our website. Just go to asforfootball.com. Press a little button, you fill out a little questionnaire, you'll be talking to the guy in a couple of hours. Like, it couldn't be easier. And I'm telling you, it really is a big, scary world out there. So protect yourself and go with somebody who's honest.
Craig's great. Follow him on Instagram. He has some great reels. Dan, we need to get Craig to run our Instagram account and start pumping out the reels. Anyway, let's talk about UTSA and not how horrible I am at social media. So UTSA is 1-1. They lost to Houston in a surprisingly defensive-minded game in week one, 17-14. Beat Texas State 20-13 a week after Texas State beat Baylor. So Baylor's pretty terrible this year, so I don't know how good that win is. Either way, head coach Jeff Taylor has been there since 2019. Super, super redshirt senior Frank Harris has been there before 2019, but don't get me started on that one. UTSA went 11-3 last year, won Conference USA, but then they lost to Troy in the Cure Bowl. They moved to the American this season, and they're expected to maybe contend for the title. A lot of power players in the American have moved on to the Big 12. So American isn't what it used to be. But offensively, like I said, redshirt super, super senior Frank Harris was 44 for 73 passing, 423 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 4 sacks. Not fantastic numbers. Not that I could do better. But you'd think after playing college football for 8 years, be a little better. But 21 carries for 60 yards, and he got hurt in the early in the Texas State game, but came back to finish the second half. Oh, good. So he'll get another year of eligibility from the NCAA, I'm sure. Running back, I don't know how to pronounce that. Kay Barnes, Kavorian.
Yep.
has been the hero early, 42 carries, 206 yards. Joshua Cephas at wide receiver, 15 catches, 161 yards, and then two tight ends with five catches for 56 yards. Defensively, that's kind of been where they've made their money. 14th of the nation run defense-wise, allowing 66 yards per game, 1.97 yards per carry. Trey Moore, 12 tackles. Donye Taylor, 9 tackles. Rashad Wisdom, 8 tackles. Love the last name. They also have 9 sacks already this season, 0 fumbles, though, and 0 interceptions. And special teams, they've used 2 kickers. One guy missed from 40-plus. Chase Allen has made both his field goals with a long of 46. And then punter Lucas Dean has already had to punt 9 times this season with a long of 57 yards. So kickoff is at 7 p.m. in the Alamo Dome, San Antonio. Thank goodness. I was in San Antonio last week. Gentlemen, it was 102 degrees every damn day. It was like stepping into an oven. So thank goodness they're going to have air conditioning. ESPN has the coverage. Army opened as a 14.5-point underdog, now 11.5.
It's actually split all the way back down to like 8.5 or 9, depending on which book you're looking at. It's been sliding towards Army for ever since it opened.
Yeah, interesting. Probably something to do with Harris and whether or not he's going to be ready to go. Gentlemen, what are your takes? What are we thinking?
So let me just say this is the team. Like, if you're frustrated by how much eligibility some dudes have, it is amazing. Like, Joshua Cephas, Rashad Wisdom, and Frank Harris are like really important players on the team, and they were all really important upper class players on the team the first time we played UTSA, back when Cade Ballard was a freaking plebe. So it's unbelievable how much college football these guys have played. Like, that's just wild. Facebook user says must win game at this point. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a tough contest. I mean, this rushing defense is legit. Frank Harris is a good runner, and running is a big part of his game. It looks like he's maybe got like a high ankle sprain, so that helps. But the best that you can possibly hope for in this game is a defensive struggle, which we may get because they've been in some defensive struggles already this season. You know, that kid, Kavorian Barnes, he's a good running back. And Harris can be an accurate passer, but if he can't run, I got to think they're going to put the heat on him and put him on the ground. So we'll see. And who knows, maybe he won't even play. They're going to have to get Bryson Daly out of the pocket to avoid that rush, man. 9 sacks after 2 games, that is getting after it. So I don't know. That's what I got. Jordan?
Yeah, per the San Antonio Express News, they have not made a decision on Frank Harris. So we'll see what that means, whether or not he's going to play. So, when Cade Ballard, what was Rob's, the other Rob's, what did he say?
When Cade is in, let it spin. That was.
Yes. And I think that kind of holds true. Obviously, we don't have Cade Ballard anymore. But I think we're going to need to throw the ball. I think we're going to need to throw the ball effectively. And I think we're going to need to be able to move and stretch the field and run some of those jet sweeps and run some of those outside plays and stuff like that. Like, we're going to need to see that, because if we're trying to run it up the middle,
that's not going to occur. Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. So I think we need to string it out. I think we need to be more dynamic. I think we need to open up the playbook a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see week one, not good. Week two, great confidence booster. Week three, are we ready to open up the playbook and try some new things, and maybe we'll see some different looks and stuff like that we haven't seen this far. I don't know, but we're going to need to do that, and we need to be more dynamic in order to win this game.
Oh, Rob? I'm laughing at the comments, and I can see the smile on Dan's face. And again, maybe that's the technique, is to decide that they're going to take it personally. You know, you're taking it personally that like – I'm all about taxpayer dollars playing for kids to play, football in college, because I am a West Point graduate, so I completely understand that. However, Frank Harris is a grown man that needs to be playing football. Like,
he should have a mortgage and kids at this point.
He may have some kids and a mortgage, but it's being paid by NIL money rather than NFL money, right? And so let's be honest here. I think the reality of it is part of the reason why the line is moving is because they haven't made a decision on Frank Harris. And this is one of the things I talked about on the roundtable, is I'm not confident that, the injury report is starting to mess with Vegas in college football now. I think, honestly, the reason why these guys have 9 sacks is because they are selling out on, you know, the pass. Well, Army is not a passing team, so take advantage of your athletes in space and create the offense. I think, again, it goes back to open the playbook up. Trust the players, man. Give them the opportunity to win the game in space, because we've proven that we can score in space. I think part of the reason why they haven't announced whether or not Frank Harris is ready to go is because if he gets in the game, he's going to get smacked around. He's going to get hit. If he's hurt, he's going to get hit. And if you
look what our defense did this week. If you had a quarterback who was borderline,
I mean,
they were hitting after ULM's quarterback too. That kid was also a hell of a good runner.
And that's
if he couldn't move, he was going to get smoked.
Exactly. So if you look at the defensive play up to this point, like, the last thing I want to do if I'm, you know, Frank Harris, is take a blindside blitz in the back with a bad ankle. And so I think there's got to be some calculus in it, and don't be surprised if he doesn't start, but they bring him in later in the game if it's close. You know, I think that's probably, like, if I was his coach, that's what I would be thinking, because I have a whole other schedule that I have to play, and Army's not a conference opponent. You know, I hate to treat it that way, but, you know, at the end of the day, dollars and cents means I want to keep my best players as healthy as possible for the duration of the season, and I can't roll the dice with an attacking Army defense the way that they are. Because he's going to get hit. Like, they're like, make no mistake, he's going to get hit. And I will say one last thing. I wouldn't be above it, because when I was a player, I would take a necessary roughness penalty to take a quarterback out of the game. I'm not saying for the guys to do it, but I personally would throw in an extra cheat shot in the file.
Ooh, Army needs a goon.
Needs, man. You know, hey, I can't cut block you, but I damn sure could put a helmet on your knee.
Man. You know, so UTSA has Army this week. They have Tennessee next week. And then they either have a bye. They don't play Temple until, like, late September, early October. So they got a little time before they kick into their conference schedule. I'm not sure what you would do with that with Frank Harris, but starting him against Tennessee would definitely be a mistake. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We had a comment say, had a UTSA fan went to the game last year, tell me what a shithole Mikey is. Clearly that UTSA fan has never been to San Antonio. So... Fact or fiction, gentlemen?
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction?
Incorrect.
Dan, you're up first.
I put on there, this is a close game and Army covers. I don't know, man. I don't love that, especially with the way the line is moving. That seems like kind of a slam dunk. So I guess I'll say Army puts up 150 yards rushing in this game. Fact or fiction?
You can't change it. You wrote this down. You can't just change it.
All right, man. Fine. Then fact or fiction, this is a close game and Army covers.
I'll say fact.
See, that was dumb. Good job, Jordan.
Fine. You know what? I'll take yours, okay? Army puts up at least 150 yards rushing. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction. I think they got to go to the air.
Rob?
Well, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to keep bringing this back. I'm going to recycle it every other week until it happens. So Army throws 2 touchdown passes.
Okay, but we got to get your fact or fiction on 150 yards rushing first.
Are you not listening to me?
I said fact. I said fact.
Huh. I said fact, too. All right, Rob, I wasn't listening to you. I was just annoyed that you didn't answer my question. So can you say yours again, please?
All right, I apologize. I'm recycling this one again from week one. Army has 2 touchdown passes in the game. I'm not going to say from whom. I'm just going to say 2 touchdown passes, fact or fiction.
I'm going to say fact because I think we're going to need 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I'm going to say fact as well. Tyson Riley, man, that's your H-back of the future.
Do we have fact again? Yeah.
He looks good catching the ball, man. Like,
he does. I know.
Ball to, like, a big, beefy guy who can run in space. Like that's money, man.
Yeah. And think about it. There's no quarterback, no cornerback that's got Army on the schedule that's like, dude, I gotta tackle that big old guy. Holy moly. Like, you better start taking your protein powder now.
When he caught the ball, I was like, who is this? And they said, Tyson Riley. It's like, really? Y'all sure? So, he looked good. Yeah, I didn't hate it. So we'll see. You know what else? I don't hate Army football, but I do hate social media. Who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Instead, go to asforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with links to that week's content. That's it. It's too easy. Keep it with Army Sports with As for Football. Gentlemen, we are coming to the end of our show here this week together. It's been fun. My personal favorite thing is Rob is wearing a Fort Bragg t-shirt, which naughty, naughty. Didn't she get the memo? Anybody else have a favorite thing for us this week?
Yes, I have a favorite thing, but I have to caveat. It says Fort Bragg alumni. So it
clearly
states that I used to be.
Excuse me. Not politically correct of you.
Yeah, not currently. All right. But I have a favorite thing. Like one of the things I went through, like James made a comment about me needing to get a multi-viewer. So I got the multi-viewer set up. So I have my 55-inch K or 4K screen TV, which I watch the Army games on. And then all the other games are on my 42-inch with four other screens.
Oh, my
God.
So
I was able to watch five games at the same time. The difficulty with that is finding the appropriate number of streaming services without having to pay for the extra screens because they are running on multiple platforms. However, I got that figured out, and I'm looking forward to this Saturday because I'll be able to watch a lot more games just simply because the Army game is not going to be on Saturday. It's going to be Friday night, so I can watch six different games this week.
There you go. Dan, why can't you be like Rob? Like James, the young man gave Rob some constructive advice and he took it. For 2 years, we've been giving you constructive advice about ESPN and you say, no, I don't want to pay.
I have three TVs and will sometimes set up a laptop giving me four separate screens, which I maintain is superior to putting four screens on one TV. So
I think we should hash this out on the round table. Yeah. Is it better to have one screen with four TVs or four TVs?
We're going to have big game Boomer on there for the Red River rivalry in a couple weeks. So there's a tease.
That's fair. That'll be exciting. I don't think anybody's ever seen his face. So
yeah, should be interesting.
And that's a note for you there, Dano.
Yeah, I know. I've been around since 56. Jesus.
This is how rumors get started. I'm like, correct this. Dan, you went with
Kennedy. On it. I know. I just get. You guys are so mean to me. You're hurt my feelings. I'd have to have feelings, obviously.
Well, you live in the Northeast, so.
You know, my favorite thing about Manhattan, we're way off track now, but my favorite thing about Manhattan is you can be rude as anything to everybody, and that's just the way it is. So
that's life. Nobody cares.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, this was fun. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Go Army, beat UTSA.
Beat them.
Hashtag, let's get Frank Harris a job. You know what? Yeah, while we're still live, you know what we could do? We should link Craig up with Frank Harris so we can finally have Frank Harris get a mortgage because it's about that
time. He's probably got three kids, man. I mean, the man is 30.
Literally, he's like 27 years old and has like more facial hair than I do, which is saying a lot.
That's saying a lot. All right.
Take care. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to buyerbarn.com/military. That's buyerbarn, BYREBARN.com to learn more. Or to get started, email them at info@buyerbarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.